Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Searches for his living soul, searches places that he don't wanna go, looks for love and for hope. He finds a world that's abandoned them both. Yeah. All the lies tell us just who to be. Can't set you free. What we need is that love, the love that comforts from heaven above.
Hi, I'm Kathleen McCarthy, and you're listening to What the World Needs Now, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. I invite you to join me in this hour of God's healing power. Call and join us in conversation and prayer. Remember, what the world needs now is God, and God is love. Well, welcome once again to What the World Needs Now. You're listening to Kathleen McCarthy. I'm blessed and privileged to be with you as your host on What the World Needs Now, and I have someone that's not only a beautiful gift to the Church of Philadelphia and the priesthood, but he's been a gift to me in my own life, and that is Father Kevin Gallagher. Once again, welcome.
Thank you, Kathleen. It's good to be back with you and to share this hour with you.
I am blessed because Father Kevin is also the priest of my parish, Corpus Christi, so I not only get to see him occasionally, but I get to hear his wonderful and anointed, I might add, homilies. We were talking a minute before the program, and we decided we're going to talk a little bit about this busy month that we have, a month of course, a month of Mary, our Holy Mother, remembering our own mothers, and the priesthood, of course, and also all the little children all over the world that will be receiving the sacraments of Holy Communion, of course, confirmation at this time of year.
Yes, yes.
So I'd like to hear a little. You know, I'm very grateful for those of you who do not know. I was very sick a while back. I had two major operations. The second operation, they didn't think I would pull through. Had to sign a lot of papers, and they gave me a 50-50 chance of possibly surviving it because of where the tumor was. The cancer on my kidney was right up on a blood vessel. I had two wonderful priests come to me and pray with me. I had the anointing of the sick through both operations, and I still haven't figured out why, but the first priest, Father Keith Chalinsky, blessed me, and a friend of mine had brought he gave me the anointing of the sick, and a friend of mine had brought, at the same time Father came, he brought me a friend of mine, a woman actually, June Piola, dear friend, brought me the Succeta at that time, and it was put on me, and I was prayed over, pulled through that operation very well.
And the Succeta of Pope John Paul II.
John Paul II, the great, I believe.
Yes.
And then they got me strong enough to undergo a completely different operation because they found cancer when I was in there. Sure enough, Father Kevin came in one night and he said to me, well, he said, let's gather your family around, Kathleen, and let's have anointing of the sick right in with your family. And we did. He graciously came to my son Brian and Chrissy's house. Kids were there. And he gave me the anointing of the sick again for this operation. And he said, I have a very special surprise for you today. And I could have, in my heart, I knew it. I knew what it was going to be when he said a very special something. I don't know why, but I knew it was John Paul II, again, the Sacchetta going to be laid on me. And I got so choked up to be once blessed, but to be twice blessed by it, I was overwhelmed. And that doesn't happen to me often. So I want to thank you that you're very much a part of that recovery, I believe. And I'm so grateful to be able to celebrate with my own children this Mother's Day.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? So I remember, Kathleen, that night being in your son's home, and you had said to me, we'll just have a few of them because they all can't make it. Well, you have your own parish, and it's called your family.
Right.
There were more kids there than I think I see at a school day at Corpus Christi. And how beautiful it was to see them all around. And I'm sure this time of year, did any of the grandchildren receive First Holy Communion?
I had two little granddaughters, yes. Brian's little girl, yes. And Kristen's little girl, and my little grandson also. So it's Chris, Michaela, Kristen's little girl. Anna, of course, is Brian and Chrissy's little girl. And then Dominic, who this ministry was his before he went home to the Lord. And, of course, his little grandson. And my little grandson received his first Holy Communion just this past Saturday.
Wonderful.
And what a beautiful gift it was. I don't think you can ever, ever express in words what you're feeling as a parent or a grandparent of watching that child take that step and walk down that aisle and receive Jesus for the first time.
It's a wonderful time of the year for that. At Corpus Christi, our first Holy Communion was 2 weeks ago. This past Saturday, I was asked to celebrate First Holy Communion at one of our academies, Gwinnett Mercy Academy, which is relatively close, and we have several families who send their children there. And then just this past week, I preached the 40 Hours Devotion at St. Monica Parish in South Philadelphia, and last evening as the devotions closed, there were the 70 first communicants there to receive. So it seems everywhere I turn this time of year, we see the first communicants. And as you said, it's a privileged moment for the child, a privileged moment for the parents, the godparents, the grandparents, this family. But it's a privileged time for the church.
Yes.
Because the Eucharist is a yet another sacrament of initiation. So our great body, the body of Christ, the church, is growing, And to see their innocence, their purity, their beauty, you know, I love to ask them, did you sleep well last night? Because, you know, they are so excited. Mm. And the beauty of it is, here we are as adults, they're second or third grade, and, you know, we think we know everything, and we think we have all the answers. But here they are, little children, and they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
They know they're receiving Jesus. And it's a privilege time for priests.
Of course.
Because, you know, our responsibility before God is to help them, to prepare them, and to celebrate with them First Eucharist. So at Corpus Christi, we had almost 200 children. Last week at Gwinnett Mercy, 45 children, and then last night. So I feel like I've spent the last 2 weeks with first communicants in some way. And it's such a beautiful time of the year, not just the beauty of the outdoors and these beautiful days that we've had, but beautiful days of the Easter season.
Mm.
And the church celebrates the sacraments in the Easter season because we're Easter people.
Amen.
We're hallelujah people. And we don't get stuck in the grave, but we rise with the Lord. And that's why it's so fitting that we celebrate the sacraments. And, you know, just in this coming Saturday, I believe Bishop Timothy Sr., the new auxiliary bishop of Philadelphia, ordained last July, will ordain three men to the diaconate for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, transitional deacons who, please God, next May will become our priests. And then 2 weeks, on the 15th of May, another sacrament celebrated. Again, the Sacrament of Holy Orders. Cardinal Regali, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, will gather with the families and friends and priests of the Archdiocese, and he will replenish the church, replenish the priesthood by ordaining six men to the priesthood of Jesus and for service in our parishes, for service of the people. And so it's a tremendous time of the year to celebrate the sacraments and to be renewed, to be renewed in the gift of faith. As we see little children, also very often parishes are celebrating the sacrament of confirmation, yes, the outpouring of the Spirit. We as a church look forward in a few weeks to the celebration of Pentecost. We say we're Easter people, Alleluia people, but we're Pentecost people.
That's
too.
Right.
The church comes to its full stature at Pentecost. And, you know, this time of year is a great time for priests to be renewed, mm-hmm, as I said, when we stand there and offer the body and blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, to these children, it's a magnificent moment to see their parents. Oh, often is the case that not just mom, but dad is crying,
yes,
too. I love the tradition. I don't know how popular it is among all of our parishes, but that the parents come and stand on either side of the child, mm-hmm, just as they did for baptism. And it's a wonderful tradition, and it's not something that's cute but beautiful, because they're bringing them once again to the Lord. And I think our parents, who might be on the fringe, our parents, mm-hmm, who are a little lukewarm, you know, are renewed,
yes,
are renewed in the gift of faith through their children. How many times you've heard, Kathleen, and I have certainly heard, that people's faith is rekindled,
yes,
through their children, or they live vicariously through
their
children. Some do that with sports, but please God, they do it with the gift of faith. And, you know, this Sunday we gather as families, as a nation, but as people of faith too, to celebrate wonderful people like yourselves, moms.
Mother's Day.
And some years ago I was involved, and I'm not sure if it continues, I hope it would, but there was a retreat in Delaware County. I was stationed at St. Denis at the time, and there was a wonderful retreat for women, for mothers, and the title of it was Mom - Heart of the Home. And I just thought, you know, mom is the heart,
yeah,
of the home, the heart of the family, you know, and to celebrate Mother's Day is a wonderful thing. We should do it every day, and it's a wonderful thing. For me, it's a very special day. While my mother went to the Lord 3 years ago, 3 years in September, I was born on Mother's Day.
You were?
I was, and on May 11th, 1975, at St. Agnes Hospital in Philadelphia. So Mother's Day was always around, mm-hmm, my birthday, and I was ordained a deacon the day before Mother's Day, and then I was ordained a priest, obviously, around the week after Mother's Day. So it's a wonderful time, mm-hmm, of the year, and certainly we think of our mothers living and deceased, and we think of all that they've done. I think of how much my dad's a wonderful man, and I always say, since my mother passed away, I've gotten to know my dad, because, you know, I was the type of child that would call home from the seminary or call home from the parish and say, and my dad would answer, and I'd say, is mommy there? You know, dad didn't have
Sounds familiar.
All the information that we needed. But as I said, my mother passed away 2.5 years ago. It'll be 3 years, September the 26th, after a courageous battle with breast cancer. And my family is still very, very vigilant about praying for and supporting a cause that's pro-life, a cause for the research and study to help especially young women with this terrible disease. But during that time of my mother's final sickness, she was, again, a very courageous, very strong woman. I was able to be with her. My parents live in southern Delaware, and I was able to go home for about 2.5 weeks and be there and be her caretaker, be her companion, but also to be a priest.
Wow.
Which was a tremendous gift. It was the opportunity I had in so many ways to give back to my mother through the gift of the priesthood, through the gift of faith that she and my dad instilled in us. And it's the only reason I'm a priest is because of the family that I grew up in. Mom and dad so supportive of us, their children, in a loving marriage. That's where vocations come from. But I was able to be with her, and we would have Mass every day. A very difficult task, but a very beautiful task, was to celebrate the anointing of the sick with my mother, and to ultimately pray those prayers of commendation of the dying, commending my mother to the Lord with all of us around her. But then that ultimate gift came on September the 26th. We followed a normal day, a normal routine, but my mother was becoming extremely weak. And at about 10 o'clock in the morning, we gathered at her bedside, as I said I did every day. And there I was, her son, celebrating Mass at her bedside with my brothers, my dad, and our aunt. And it was there at that moment that my mother died. Mm-hmm. She died as her priest's son was celebrating Mass. So, you know, I don't recall that story just to give a play-by-play of how my dear mother died, but I think of that so much on Mother's Day.
What a privilege, though.
Yes, it was a privilege for me, a sacred moment for her to go. She died just after the consecration, and I finished the Mass. And but to go from the banquet of the Lord here, this earthly Eucharistic banquet, to the banquet of the Lord that's eternal.
Yeah.
And I remember certainly being filled with much emotion, but ultimately so thankful to God that he would take her at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
And so all those things are on my mind as we prepare for Mother's Day, as we prepare for the sacrament of holy orders, First Communion. It's if you will, you know, I was talking to someone on the way here, and I'm not making a pitch for it, because it was always a difficult time to live there. But at St. Denis, for over 40-some years, they've had a spring carnival, the fun fair. And I lived not through it, but in it. And I couldn't help but think that this time of year, Mother's Day, First Holy Communions, confirmations, ultimately the sacrament of ordination, and you know, new priests, new deacons, new first communicants, that this is a festival going on in our midst, a festival of faith. So it's hard to believe that it all, as you said, it's a busy time, but it's a joyous time.
Yeah.
It's a very joy-filled time, when the Lord and God the Holy Spirit breathes into the church in a new way. Mm. And how thankful we should be. We so often, as you know and I know, take things for granted.
Yeah.
And I think it's this time of the year that the Lord is truly breathing into us some energy. You know, it's like a whole thrust of caffeine.
Yeah.
into the life of the people of faith, so that we can be renewed. And it's just such a time of joy. Yes, they're beautiful days, but they're beautiful days of faith, too.
Yes.
And we have to take pause and be grateful for them. And I'm grateful to share that with you, because I think it's sometimes we can be Christians, we can be Catholics, and just get up, say our prayers, go to Mass, receive the Eucharist, and go home. But realizing that we're one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that throughout the world so many wonderful things are happening, but they're happening right here too.
That is the thing, Father. You know, I think we oftentimes, the things that are the most precious to us are very often the very things we take for granted, such as, you know, we go up, we receive Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. We go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation because we know there's going to be a priest there. And we take for granted the very sacramental life of the church, when we should be in awe of the great gift that God left us to nourish us, to a mother church taking periods in the church that make us really stop and really take a deep look into our own hearts and souls to say, where are we in our walk? Where are we on our journey? And this, as you say, is a wonderful time. The other day, Chrissy and Brian were out there gardening, and they were digging up, you know, holes and planting different things. They were deadheading, you know, cutting off, lobbing off dead pieces so that they would bloom again. And I think nature in itself, the glory of God, nature comes together to scream an alleluia.
Right.
And how often we, who are flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, the very likeness and image of God, how we take for granted who we are, let alone what the church is in our midst.
Sure, sure. It, the church is such a wonderful gift. Faith is such a wonderful gift. And like you said, we take it for granted. I mentioned to you that I was in, for the last 3 days, Sunday afternoon, Monday and Tuesday, I was at St. Monica Parish in South Philadelphia, which is...
wonderful parish.
Which is known as the Cathedral of South Philadelphia,
right.
Built by the great Monsignor Aloysius Farrell after the fire of 1964, a magnificent church. And the church is, the structure itself is built so that your eyes are always being lifted up to the ceiling. There's a beautiful painting, rendering of the Assumption. There's paintings that really lift your eyes and your hearts up. And I couldn't help but think, this is what the church, the body of Christ, does. Mm. You know, this particular building at 17th and Rittner Street, yes, that's doing that. But the whole church, the one Holy Catholic Apostolic Church, is lifting our eyes to the Lord, lifting our hearts to his mercy and to the gifts that he gives to us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know all of us painfully know that the church has suffered.
Mm-hmm.
The church suffered from Judas turning his back on Jesus and handing him over, betraying him. We know that the church suffered when Peter would go and deny Jesus. We know that the church suffered when the apostles, after witnessing that Jesus has risen, they went back to fishing, they gave up on him.
Mm-hmm.
The church has suffered from that, those earliest moments when the church didn't even know it was the church.
Right.
And all throughout these 2,000 years, not that any of the sins or any of the scandal that we have faced is to be excused, but the church will survive.
Amen. The gates of hell will never prevail against her.
And we have to believe that. Mm-hmm. I read an article sent to me by Michael Bradley, who's the executive director of the St. Patrick's Day. You know my name is Gallagher,
yes.
And I'm the chaplain to the St. Patrick's Day parade. But Michael Bradley sent me this wonderful article by a rabbi, Rabbi Miller, and it may have been circulated. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it appeared in the Wall Street Journal. And here is a Jewish man, obviously a man of wonderful integrity, saying, what is it with you people, namely the media, what is it with you people who are attacking the church? And he was very pragmatic at the beginning, saying, you know, you're not going to win. You're not going to win.
I read that, by the way.
And then he moves on to say, but look what the church does. And you know, that's wonderful. We have to say, look what the church does. We're in the midst of Catholic Charities.
That's right.
Here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the largest single giver of financial assistance and aid to people in southwestern Pennsylvania, and probably the largest in Pennsylvania. I'm not positive of that. But really, we have to be so careful what the church is, not just what it does, what the church is, the body of Christ. And we will have more problems.
Right.
I think to dismiss, we have taken great, great effort, and I think we have to do more to protect our young people.
Yes.
To rid ourselves or to punish those who have abused children,
right,
mentally, physically, sexually. They need to be abused. They need themselves, pardon me, to be punished, and that is justified.
Right.
But the church is alive, and the media, the secularists, are tearing it down.
Yeah,
they're attempting to tear it down, and they will not prevail.
Amen.
They will not prevail. And again, last night I said to the children at St. Monica, I said, you know, you are beautiful. And Jesus made you beautiful so that we're reminded how beautiful we are.
Amen, Father.
That if we get caught in all of these, newspapers, articles, they're out to attack our Pope.
Imagine.
You know, and the poor Pope, I mean, he's so faithful to Jesus.
Yes.
So faithful to us. So faithful to the teachings of the church. But a man of wonderful compassion.
Yeah, he wept when he met the victims.
He wept, and, there were certain articles, I saw one article that, you know, the quote of the article, an attack, was, look, he's old, he's falling asleep, he looks like that other one, the servant of God, John Paul II. But, you know, I thought the way the Pope dozed off.
Mm-hmm.
He's a human being,
right.
He dozed off. And as he was there, I'm thinking, yes, he may have been physically tired, but the burden
that he
the
carried.
Blessed burden yes. of the church that he bears.
Mm.
He is Saint Peter.
And it's the universal church
all over.
He sees himself as shepherd of all people.
He certainly does. And has wonderful respect for the people of the United
yes.
States of America. He finds us to be extremely faithful to the teachings of the church, faithful that we go to Mass on Sunday. Doesn't excuse us from anything. We have to do more.
Right.
We have to do more. But, you know, it's the church is the body of Christ.
Amen.
Not to dwell on, and sometimes even as a priest, I find myself saying, we have to do, we have to do, we have to do. And the opposite isn't just to sit back and be lazy and say, we're the church, come to us.
Right.
But to realize the church is a living body, the people of God, the Second Vatican Council said, the people made up of priests, bishops, the laity, all religious, all having their sacred and authentic role, but the body of Christ. Though we are many members, we're one.
Yep, the living body.
Yes.
We're going to take a call, try to get that in. Okay, is that all right with you, Father?
That's fine.
Hello, you're on the air. This is What the World Needs Now. Kathleen McCarthy with the wonderful Father Kevin Gallagher.
I just want to wish you a happy Mother's Day with your 12 beautiful children and 40 grandchildren, 40 plus.
44.
And Father, I'm so happy.
Go ahead.
But my question for Father, a lot of mothers going to have a very sad Mother's Day. Their children have left the church.
Mm.
Yeah. What can we do, Father?
Well, I think first and foremost, never, ever, ever judge yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think in my life, I know that people will come to me and say, I'm a failure. My children don't go to church. My children have left the church and have found another faith.
Right.
And I think what we must do is continue to model to them.
Okay.
Not giving up on yourself, not stop loving them, but being true to yourself and being that witness to them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a difference. As a son, I can say this to a mother. There's a difference between witnessing and harping on it. And
true.
I think witnessing is that quiet modeling, that faith is still very important to you. And Pat, I tell you, you know, so often as a priest, I unfortunately, you know, will celebrate funerals for people. And, you know, as I'm meeting with the family of a deceased mom or dad.
Yes.
The son or daughter or sons and daughters will say, you know, Father, we've been away from the church and our mother was so sad, but this is important to her. And, you know, it's just that opportunity once again to touch their hearts. Don't give up on them.
Right.
Which I know a mother never forgets her child, right, from heaven
never.
Or on earth.
Never.
But I think just to witness to them, but also to say, I've done a good job.
Okay.
They've made a choice.
Mm-hmm.
They've made a decision. And just pray. And sometimes I think, you know, there's an old expression, all roads lead back to Rome.
Yeah.
Meaning that all roads lead back to the church, mm-hmm. and pray for them, because sometimes I think children, you know, I have people in my own family, mm-hmm. not my immediate family, I'm very blessed with a good Catholic family, and who practice their faith and are proud of their faith and proud to have a brother, a priest. But, you know, I think in the back of their minds and in their hearts, they do have an amount of suffering that they're a little away from the church.
Right.
So be proud to be their mother. Be proud of the gift of faith that you gave them. But have a happy Mother's Day, not a sad one.
Mm-hmm. And believe that they'll come back.
Well, believe that Jesus will be with them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Believe that the Lord will be with them. Believe all roads lead to Rome, that they'll come to have a true hunger and a true thirst for the Eucharist. Not just coming back to the church, it's coming back to the sacraments. Mm. And, you know, continue to pray for them and model to them. But
I have a niece that's in a very bad way. Just has many, many bad influence in her life. And my sister is devastated. But, you know, I said you have to tell her there's a choice for eternity, heaven or hell.
You're right.
And my sister said, you know what? We're not hearing that in church anymore. Anything about our choice in this. I mean, I'll be 70 soon, and I feel like I'm in my 20s, but that fast this lifetime goes.
Yes.
Face our eternity.
And I'm sure you look like you're still in your 20s.
In my heart, I'm in my 20s.
Young at heart.
But there
and
are many.
I'm as old as I am, but what can you do?
Sure. There, as far as your niece, there are many influences in the world. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do have, and you use the appropriate word, it's an influence. Look at our young people. Our young people are always on the verge because there's so much around them.
Yes.
And just pray. You know, it's not that the church has stopped preaching. Maybe you're not hearing it, but maybe we're emphasizing the mercy of Jesus just to get people to realize that the Lord, no matter what we have done, where we've been, that the Lord will forgive us through the sacrament of reconciliation.
Yes, absolutely.
Too often, I hear it all the time, so sadly, and I try my hardest to lasso them into the confessional just to say, you know, it's not that hard.
Right.
The quote is, Father, God's given up on me. I've done way too many things. Mm-hmm. But the Lord says never. Never. I believe it's Mother Angelica. She might be quoting someone else, but Mother Angelica, the foundress of the Eternal Word Television Network, once said, how dare, you know how Mother has this very direct way of speaking, how dare any of you think, how rude of you to think any of you are beyond the mercy of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It's an arrogance, and only Mother in her way could pull that off, but I think we have to say that more.
Yes.
Right.
Not so much pointing our finger and chastising, but saying, listen, get in line, get into the sacrament of reconciliation, mm-hmm. and find, most importantly, forgiveness, but most importantly, peace.
Amen.
Yeah. Father, thank you so much.
Thank you, Matt.
I will have a good Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day to you. How many children do you have?
I only have one, but 3 grandchildren.
Ah, well, you're blessed abundantly in one.
I am.
God bless you.
God bless you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
My brothers and sisters, we'll be right back. Don't go away. We're going to take a short break, and we got lots more to come. You are listening to What the World Needs Now. This is Kathleen McCarthy, and we're blessed to have with us today a very special son of the church, and that's Father Kevin Gallagher. And I'm blessed that he's one of my parish priests. So, Father Kevin, welcome back again.
Thank you, Kathleen, and thank you for the commercial of Cardinal Regali, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, because it was certainly a wonderful invitation to our listeners and to families, because the church, the body of Christ, needs priests.
Mm.
As I said, this coming Saturday, Bishop Senior will ordain 3 men to the transitional diaconate, please God, priests next year. And then the following Saturday, His Eminence will ordain 6 men to the priesthood. And those 9 men need to be replaced in our in our seminary, and not just nine, but maybe 99. The Archdiocese of Philadelphia is a very vast and diversified archdiocese, and we need vocations. We need vocations to the priesthood, and that should be of paramount importance. Certainly, religious life and the consecrated life, sisters and brothers, are very important, but we know those words, the immortal words of the servant of God, Pope John Paul II, without the priesthood, there is no Eucharist. Mm-hmm. Without the Eucharist, there is no church. And great line of our Holy Father, Pope John Paul II, the servant of God, because you know what? Nobody can argue that.
That's true.
The most liberal person in the world cannot argue that. There's no getting around it, that we need the priesthood of Jesus Christ. And that priesthood needs to be built up. And so, as His Eminence said, if you know someone, a young man, who you believe would be a good priest, say something to him. Say something to him. If you know someone in your family, pray for them, support them. When I was a seminarian at St. Charles Borromeo Seminary, I remember one of my friends who was just a year ahead of me. He was a priest of the Diocese of Lincoln in Nebraska. And for a time, his own mother and father did not speak with him. He was so convinced by the power of the Spirit that he was meant to be a priest. And his mom and dad thought, no, Brian, you should be at the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. You should be getting an engineering degree, following in the footsteps of the family, make money, don't waste your life. And, you know, it was a very, very difficult time. But Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of priests, supported Brian, and he's now Father Brian Kane. Probably has no idea I'm using his name, but Father Brian Kane of the Diocese of Lincoln in Nebraska. But I remember his first Mass. His mom and dad were present. Eventually, they came around to see his happiness, his total devotion to the church, his total devotion to the priesthood, and they were ecstatic that day. Sometimes the Spirit moves a little slowly in the hearts of some, or maybe it's better said that the hearts of some are moved slowly by the Spirit. But if you know someone, please pray for them, support them, but say something to them. When I was a young child, I had a wonderful, wonderful pastor. His name is Father Sidney Burgoyne. He's still very much alive. He lives at our retirement village, villa at St. Joseph's in Derby. And this, as a matter of fact, this coming Saturday, he will celebrate 56 years as a priest. He was ordained May the 8th, 1954, by then Archbishop O'Hara. And it was his joy. It was his enthusiasm. It was his love and obvious devotion to the church that inspired me. No questions about it. Yes, was it cultivated in the home? Was it cultivated by my mom and dad? Yes. But it was his joy. But ultimately, it was him saying to me, Kevin, did you ever think about becoming a priest? That sealed the deal.
Right.
And we can't be afraid of it. The priesthood is a wonderful, wonderful life. It's a life that is richly blessed, and it's a life that brings abundant, abundant happiness. Just, Kathleen, as your 12 children and your 40 grandchildren and your dear husband brought you great joy, the priesthood does for me and so many priests. Pray for us priests that we will inspire other young men to become priests. And pray for us especially beginning on Monday afternoon, May the 10th, 11th, and 12th, all of the priests of the Archdiocese of Philadelphia will travel to Hershey, the convention center there, for a convocation. As all of you know, this is the year that Pope Benedict has declared the year of the priest, a year for us to become become holier people, holier priests, and to pray together to build up the priesthood. It falls on the year of St. Paul, and we will gather in Hershey as a what we call the body of the priests, the presbyterate of Philadelphia. We'll gather there with Cardinal Vergali, our four auxiliary bishops, and our two retired bishops, And Archbishop Dolan, who is the
New York.
Wonderful Archbishop of New York, a man of the church, a true man. Cardinal O'Connor, while he rests in peace, I believe perhaps his anniversary is this time of the year of his death. And Cardinal O'Connor lives because Archbishop Dolan is, is very much like him, very gregarious, but a man of the church. There's he said recently, excuse me for loving the church and loving the Pope. And to say that in New York, I mean, you need a bulletproof vest perhaps. But but he will lead us in our convocation. There'll be several talks. So please, please, please pray for us, your priests who love you and hope that you love us, and pray for us. And as I said, we will be there Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for this convocation, and we're so blessed by the religious priests of the Archdiocese, those belonging to religious communities all throughout, the Jesuits, the Augustinians, the Oblates, the priest from the Shrine of Our Lady of Częstochowa, I know, are helping us, that they will be covering the masses in our parishes so that we can all be together as a, as I said, the word presbyterate, as the body of priests together. So pray for us as we'll pray for you, but ultimately pray for vocations to the priesthood. If you know someone, please encourage them. If you are somebody listening, thinking about the priesthood, please contact our vocations office, the vocations office for the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, which is at St. Charles Seminary. Father Christopher Rogers will be happy to hear from you, and will certainly help you and welcome your call. And but do not sit back. The Lord, if the Lord is calling you, guess what? He's not going to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And if you answer the call, you will know His peace as I've known it. Believe it or not, for 8 years.
Wow.
I've been on May 18th. My classmates and I will celebrate our 8th anniversary. So.
Praise God. You know, it's so important. You hit such a key point there when you said, tell them. I mean, sometimes we wait so long, someone's gone in our lives, before we tell them how much we love them or how much they did to affect our lives. And it's the same with the priesthood. You know how you can foster a vocation, even if you don't even realize it. I was speaking, a friend of mine, a priest friend of mine, and I had breakfast the other morning. And when he, unbeknownst to me, he was discerning. I didn't know this. And one night, years ago, he said to me, let's have breakfast tomorrow morning. He said, I want to talk to you about something. Let's get together and talk. I said, sure. So we went across after Mass, had breakfast. And it was so strong, Father. I can't even tell you. And I felt just inspired by the Holy Spirit in my life to ask him, you know, was he, you know, maybe he should consider priesthood as a vocation. And this wasn't a kid. This was a man that had been involved for a job and so forth. And so over breakfast, we were done breakfast, and I looked right into his eyes, and I said, I really feel strongly led. I said, you know, I really think, you know, you might have a calling into the priesthood. And he literally started to cry. And he said, you don't know what that means to me.
Wow.
He said, I've been really thinking about it, and I thought at this time in my life.
Yeah.
And he said, that convinces me. It convicts me. And he is a priest today in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I believe the cream of the crop. But here's a priest that said this was a confirmation for him.
Sure.
And you might, you know, if you're listening today, you might be a mother, a sister, a friend, a brother, a husband, and your wife might have in passing said, do you think Johnny has a vocation? He always seems to love the Lord so much. As a father, how wonderful it would be to have you go to Johnny or Billy or Bob and say, you know, son, I've been thinking about it. You very well may have a vocation, and they'll never know unless they come and see.
No, the come and see is true. And, you know, you're again, going back to the celebration of Mother's Day, so many people will say to me, Kathleen, your mother must be so proud. Mm. And I think, well, my mother didn't go to the seminary for 9 years. I did.
Right.
But certainly my mother was very proud. But, you know, those same people who say that, I kind of think in the back of my mind, but how would you feel? Because they're sometimes the one who don't know how they would feel to have a son, right, a priest. And obviously, as I mentioned, not to repeat again, but I was born on Mother's Day. It was a Mother's Day morning, 8:55 in the morning, that I was born at St. Agnes Hospital on Broad Street. Those of you in 1975, the flyers were coming up Broad Street.
That's
hopefully
right.
They might do that again this year. But as my mother held me as a small child, I once was small, they tell me, and there, fast forward it, 32 years later, I would be holding her into the hands of God.
Yeah.
From God's hands, my life came into hers, and as a priest, I was able to offer her back to the Lord. And so, yes, I'm sure my mother's very proud, and I know she watches over me. I know she, and you know, it's just a funny expression. Your mother must be so proud.
Yeah.
And my new response is, and you could be too.
That's right.
You could be too. And it's so ironic, just to, you know, Providence, on the bottom of my chalice, inspired by the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence, the sisters from Chicago who formerly staffed Divine Providence Village, a home for women with disabilities, and St. Edmund's Home, not far from us, where I spent 7 summers as a camp director. But on the crucifix of the sisters' habit, on the back is the Latin words, "In tua providentia nostra spes," in his providence is my hope. And it is amazing that the providence of God has allowed all this to happen. And it's the providence of God that, you know, allowed me to be born into the family that I was, supported, educated, and then finally taken to the seminary by my mom and dad. And so it's a wonderful thing. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't think and thank my mother for the gift of faith, and my dad too.
Of course,
my poor dad sometimes gets thrown under the bus, but wonderful man. And you know, I miss her terribly, but I know she's with me. And every day, as I lift the chalice, on the top of the center of my chalice is my father's wedding band. And that he's never really worn, so it's not as if when my mom died, but when I was ordained, I put that in. And then on the bottom of that node was a ring that I gave to my mother. I had saved up because my dad had given her years ago a mother's ring, but it was before I was born. So my stone, which is green, was not in there.
Right.
So I really didn't like when she would wear it. I thought she was mad at me when she'd wear it, but nonetheless, I took the ring and had the stones removed and a new ring made. And she wore it very faithfully. And when she died, I told her this too, that I was going to put that into my chalice. So on my chalice is my mother's ring. So I think of my two brothers, and then her birthstone is in the cross, and that's for a particular reason. Again, mom, heart of the home, the heart of the family, the center of the cross, the center of my life. The cross is my life. So. But moms, if you're listening, dads, if you're listening, you are vocation directors.
Yes.
You're the ones who can say, and let me tell you, I'll be 35 years old next week. I entered the seminary after high school. I love being a priest.
Praise God.
I love being a priest. And it brings such great joy to celebrate Jesus and his sacraments. It brings such great joy to celebrate the church, because that's my whole life. Not a part of my life, but my whole life. Whether it be in my office meeting with a couple, whether it be at the altar, whether it be at the golf course, wherever it is, I'm a priest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I bring to it. I'm a sinner. I'm frail. I'm vulnerable. But Jesus has called me to this, and in his providence, the Lord gave me the strength to say yes, and I have never, ever, ever looked back. From the first day of the seminary, I remember the first night was a little shaky, I was a little homesick, but I've never looked back.
Praise God.
So, moms and dads, please, grandparents, please, I beg you, listen to the words of Cardinal Regali, listen to the words of Jesus, that we need priests. We need priests who are going to be faithful to the church, priests who are going to be faithful to his Sacred Heart, priests who are going to be faithful to his people.
And Father, you know, we are blessed here at this ministry. First off, I want to praise and thank God for the gift of your priesthood.
Thank you.
And I publicly stand in for all of our listeners and all the people of our diocese to say, from my heart to your heart, a great heart of gratitude for the priest, and particularly yourself. So thank you for the gift of your priesthood.
Thank you.
We only have a minute left. If you'd be so good, maybe you could close with a prayer for all of our listeners today, for future priests, mothers.
Very good. Thank you, Kathleen. And I just beg you, maybe one of those 40 grandchildren you'll give back to the church.
Oh, we might have it. My grandson just talked to me about it last weekend.
Good. Well, let us pray.
And we have about 3 minutes.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Great God in heaven, we give you praise and thanks for the many blessings of our lives. We thank you for the gift of family, most especially our mothers, that we will celebrate this Sunday. May we always have hearts that are filled with respect, as your Father taught us in that great sermon, to honor our mothers and fathers. May we always have that respect. We thank you for the gift of friendship with those people that help us to grow closer to you. And ultimately, Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith.
Yes.
Faith in your Son. Help us to open our hearts always to his mercy. Help us to open our hearts to the movement of the Spirit so that we might respond with the gifts of the Spirit, that we might always be his faithful people, following him and carrying the cross, so that together we might sing alleluia for the gift of the resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for this time together, the ministry of Kathleen and all those who help her. And most importantly, Lord, we ask you to inspire the hearts of young men, that they will come to know their call, that they will come to know the priesthood of Jesus and respond with hearts filled with faith. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Mary, Queen of Angels, pray for us.
Amen. My brothers and sisters, remember you're never alone. He who is with us and in us is far greater than he who is in the world. Where are you? If you need to go to the Sacrament of Reconciliation, remember, the church, the priest, will always be able and available to hear your confession. Pray about it and go. It is a time of mercy and grace. Amen.